community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Indeed it is. Welcome along to the programme on a Wednesday afternoon. It is 1-2-3. My special guest for this hour is Leader of Brentwood Council, Barry Aspinall. First of all, welcome, Barry. We're going to go straight... No music straight away. We're going to go... We've got lots to talk about, so straight into the chat. Good morning, or good afternoon, should I say. Welcome along to the programme. Last time we met was roughly 3 months ago on that that very special evening. You became Leader of the Council. What did you want to do on that first morning when you woke up? What was the first thing that you'd planned to do, perhaps in your mind for a long time, and now you were in a position to achieve it?
Oh, good afternoon, Mike. Quite a bit. There was a whole list of things that we wanted to do on that first morning. I think probably one of the first things that I wanted to do, having worked in and around the council offices for a long time and seeing it, I wanted to put a smile back onto the members of staff at Brentwood Council.
Okay. And how did you think you were going to do that?
By alleviating some of the fears I had about possibilities of redundancy, of losing more members of staff to the transformation regime that was before us, that the previous administration had rolled out, and that we were looking at other ways of saving costs. And rather than dismissing staff, we were looking at revenue generation. And they're one of the most exciting things that I think I was looking forward to actually activating.
It is all very difficult when you're coming into a new post, when the first thing you're faced with is the word cutbacks from national government, which is out of your hands. Yeah. You've got plan A, B, C, D and E, but you realise that you might have to cut F, G and H to make A, B, C and D happen. So how did you look at your priorities, or how are you looking at your priorities?
Well, our priorities are to deliver a budget that works, that we can deliver the top quality services that the people of Brentwood deserve, and that we can do that in an efficient manner. We do not intend to make any redundancies whatsoever. That is our number one pledge to our staff, and that we will work round problems when they come up.
You've stated that all the things that you want to achieve, and obviously it's got a long time to achieve that, but I know one thing that the opposition will do straight away: anything that you achieve in a positive manner in the first 6 months, they're going to take credit for, aren't they? They always do.
Possibly. at the moment, everything that we say, they oppose. So there's no positivity coming from the opposition whatsoever. Everything we say or try to show that's something different, that's outside of the box, they automatically oppose it. Well, the leadership does.
This is a coalition, an accord.
Yep.
How do you think that's working so far? How are you getting on with Labour and with Brentwood First?
Well, and let's not forget our non-aligned member, the Independent.
The Independent, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm a leader of three different leaders. I'm the leader of the Lib Dems, I'm the leader of the Accord, I'm the leader of the Council. And to get your head around all of those three disciplines,
yeah,
just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Not difficult, different. I have my own group that I administer, and with the help of my deputy leader, Graham Clark, we're doing a pretty good job there. And I found that the other members are very conscious. I think it's to do with the fact that there's only a one vote difference between the Conservatives and the Accord. And so there's been a marked level of understanding, consideration, and a way of treating members that's I've never seen before. It's been a revelation. It's been extremely good. All four parties to the Accord have their individual policies and their individual political beliefs and philosophies, but we're working together, and we're working together to a common cause, which is brilliant.
Okay, but there is always the danger that there's going to be a little bit of infighting, because you are different parties. Liberal are different from Labour, Labour are different from Brentwood First, but I can understand that you all, the main goal is for the taxpayer of Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
But you are going to fall out occasionally, aren't you?
Well, it's my job to make sure we don't, and so far, touch wood, we haven't. And we've had many meetings. We've had budget meetings. We've had target meetings with the chairs and the heads of service. And we've got a common theme running through our administration, and that's one of working together for the benefit of the town. And that's something that hasn't happened for an awful long time.
Okay, you've said that you're keen to deliver a good budget.
Yep.
You've already just stated that you're promising no staff redundancies. You've got to make savings somewhere. Where are those savings going to come from?
We're looking to generate funds rather than make savings. So that's where we're putting all our efforts into.
And what avenues are you looking at then to generate funds? Where is this going to come from?
Well, we're looking at starting up our own trading arm, which is something that's well on its way. I think it's just the lawyers ticking the boxes before that's up and running. And once that's in place, we can use some of our assets to generate revenue.
Can you be a little bit more precise on that?
We've got a situation in Worley where we've got our training centre. That's going to be developed into housing. Some of that housing is going to be for purchase. Some of that housing is going to be for affordable rentable. Some of that housing is going to go into our own council housing stock. The affordable rentable, some five houses of that will be ours. As Brentwood Borough Council, and the rents generated from that will come straight into the trading arm. That will be separate from the rates, the council tax.
Okay, but what's going to happen to the training hall then? Is it unused or vacant?
Yes, it's redundant.
It's redundant at the moment, so it's no loss to the community nobody's using it?
No, it hasn't been used for several years.
Right, okay. Let's move on to Crossrail. I don't know about you, I've been watching this wonderful series on how they're building Crossrail at the moment.
Yes, fantastic, isn't it?
It is fantastic. And then you and I had this conversation last week at the council, a couple of weeks ago, about the actual line itself.
Yes.
And you staggered me by saying that your belief that the train's going to stop at every bloody station between here and... Is that true?
It's not my belief. That is a fact. It's exactly the same as the metro line that's in existence now. It will stop at every single station.
I just find that incredible.
It's longer. The carriages are going to be longer.
Yeah.
And they're going to have more carriages on them. I don't know why. Because I can't see many people in Shenfield, the commuters that want to travel up to the city, using it.
So there's not going to be any fast service from here to Heathrow, for example. They'll have to go Brentwood, Gideon Park, Seven Kings, blah, 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 all the way through.
No. None at all.
Okay. The last administration spent £19,000 on a survey.
Yes. Nearly 20,000.
Did I read this is to find out whether we should have a park and stride recording?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'm not quite sure what park and stride. I mean, that's park and walk, I presume.
Yeah.
Okay. And they asked 250 people.
Around about that, I don't know exactly.
£19,000, that seems a bit excessive to me, but...
Well, that was what the previous administration paid this consultancy company to undertake this work, and they actually asked the commuters, which was the people that use the train, not just the commuters, but other people, train users, if they would use the park and stride that was budgeted for in our budget. For 1.6 million.
So that means away from Shenfield Station there'll be an allocated car park?
There was an area,
not
identified precisely, but somewhere in the Alexander Lane area that the park and stride was going to come from that area. And I asked these people if they would use it, and they said quite categorically no.
Because too far to walk, or
I don't know.
Where are they parking at the moment then?
Anywhere they can. A lot of people are parking privately in people's driveways, and they pay the householder £40 a month for that privilege, or a little bit more in some cases. And a lot of people are parking in Hunter Avenue, Friars Avenue, a lot in the new rail track double decker that they've put in the Mount Avenue car park.
Okay. This is Europe's, I think it's Europe's biggest building project going on at the moment.
It's outrageous that they can't afford any money to spend on Shenfield Station.
Yeah, because...
It's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, you've mentioned this before. There seems to be a lot of spend on other stations. Reading got a brand new station, various other brand new stations being developed.
Maidenhead.
Yeah, etc. Why has Shenfield been left out then? What changes are we going to see at Shenfield?
We haven't had the plans in yet. I'm astounded that we still haven't had plans at the council for our consideration. We don't have to give approval because they've already got the approval to anything they do, but we have slight control over things like construction routes and times of construction, I think. Not necessarily even that. But we have to have the... They should, under good practice, share their plans with us, and they still haven't put them forward.
I'm astounded because it's only really 2017 we're looking at before the first trains run, and you, as leader of the council, haven't been been given that information.
No. We've had some meetings with the county and officers of highways to discuss various options, and I went to a couple of meetings where there was this conceptual idea of what we could see at Shenfield in terms of the public realm in front of the station, where people pull up, park, drop off, buses, terminal, taxi terminal and all the rest of it. But there was no money to roll that out. They just hired someone to put plans in place, a design, but no money's for it. And there isn't any money, as we're told, from Crossrail to spend anything on that whatsoever. So Railtrack and Greater Anglia, who actually use the station itself and own the land, they're going to do some works. And I believe that they've undertaken to put the tunnel through from the entrance through to the other side of the station so that... The car park in the Mount Avenue car park will be... They will use another entrance into the station, which will be great. That would cut down an awful lot of problems, so that we could actually do something with the taxi rank then. Instead of having it trailing up Rayleigh Road, it could actually go around back into the Mount Avenue car park area. So that would be good.
Three weeks ago, you told me you were angry because they seem to be ignoring you. The plans are ignoring you about the route that the lorry's bringing all this work.
Yes.
Has anything changed? Or have they moved from?
No. I can't believe it. I think that they made these plans some 3 or 4 years ago now, and no one's touched them since. It seems to me that they just pick up the same thing that they put down 4 years ago and say, oh yeah, this is the route. Well, it's outrageous. We can't have a route of construction lorries going down Hunter Avenue, Oliver Road, Alexander Lane, Crossways. It's just out of order. So what I'm going to try to do is to put a weight limit on those roads, and hopefully with the agreement of the residents that we can put that in place.
Okay, couple of messages and then we'll be back.
In these days of social and electronic news everywhere, it's still good to spend time reading a newspaper. And a newspaper that's local, dealing with issues and stories that you want to read about. The Enquirer Group newspapers are packed with news, views, competitions and real in-depth reporting on the stories that are making today's headlines. With excellent sports coverage as well, make sure you pick up your copy of the Essex or the East London or the Thurrock Enquirer today. The Enquirer Group, a newspaper as it should be.
Experience the Millers Hairdressers difference. Your hair's as important to us as it is to you. Visit for the first time and get 25% off any treatment. The Millers Ladies Hairdressers difference. You're in safe hands with a friendly, experienced team. We're online at millerhairdressers.co.uk. Look for us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @millier_hair. We're open 6 days a week opposite Sainsbury's on the Ongar Road. Millier Hairdressers, part of the DeMillier Hairdressing Group, with branches in Upminster and Brentwood, established in 2004. Call Brentwood 200080.
Every month, Phoenix FM brings you Phoenix Friday with Papa John's Pizza Brentwood. top up-and-coming artists performing live at Old Brentwood's Ashwell Road. 22nd of August. Get your tickets and enjoy Rhonda and the Great Unknown, Kirsty Robinson, Harper, Red Sky Reunion. Tickets available from essex-live.co.uk or email radio@phoenixfm.com. Friday, 22nd of August, Phoenix Friday with Papa John's Pizza, Brentwood.
Phoenix FM Travel News in association with the Beaches Care and Nursing Home, London Road, Brentwood.
Tell you what, it's a bit of a mess out there in Brentwood today. There are roadworks everywhere. This council of ours are improving our roads. It's terrible. I can tell you what's bad. We've got, as you come out of William Hunter Way, queues there. Then if you're going up the high road, if you're coming down the high street, Wilson's Corner, all very busy. Further down Donninghurst Road, you've got roadworks there. They're resurfacing the whole of Donninghurst Road at the moment. Further afield in Hall Lane between Upminster and Brentwood, there's huge roadworks going on there, and one lane and temporary traffic lights in operation. If you're going from Nagshead Lane into Harold Hill, one lane is closed there. The huge gas works, I think, new drainage or something's going in there. That's quite long term, so just be careful of those areas. Looking at the A12, it's not too bad at the moment. M25 looks okay, just slow as usual. As you go over the bridge, of course, you'll pick up the back of those queues just after you've gone past Junction 30.
The Beaches. Last few remaining apartments available with your own private patio. Call in and find out more. The Beaches, London Road, Brentwood.
Indeed, it is Mike with 123, 20 minutes past one. My guest this morning, this afternoon, is Barry Aspinall, leader of the council, leader of the LDP as well. And Barry, you moaned, and other members of your party moaned about potholes when you were in opposition. Looks like you're doing something about it.
We're putting pressure on the county council. It is a county council function, not Brentwood's, but we are doing that as much as we can, And we've moaned enough, and now we can... We're going to moan because the roadworks are there, so it's a double-edged sword, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And you've also resurfaced lots of minor roads as well. Childerditch Lane, I know, was done recently, and Maskell's Lane was done recently, so it seems to be cracking on.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd mentioned the horrible words, William Hunter Way. We've been talking about this on and off for 8 years now. We seem to be getting a little bit closer to something actually happening. You've asked for a consultation with the public, but I've heard this week you're also asking what questions should be asked. If I understood
quite
that
bizarre, that isn't it?
Yeah.
No. What happened was we had a meeting of the William Hunter Way working group a couple of weeks ago, which around about 100 residents turned up at, because we had it in William Hunter Way itself, the pre-meet. Then we came back to the council offices, and a lot of residents joined us there, and we actually tore the questionnaire to bits, not with any relish, because it was an officer put a lot of time and effort into putting that together. But in terms of tearing it to bits, the residents made different suggestions on the way the questions were worded and where they were grouped and how they were asked, and multiple answers to multiple questions. So it was rejigged on the night. And then it came back to the next meeting, which was a week later, in its current form, and the consultation was with those residents. So we asked the residents how they would like the questions, the consultation, to be put together. So that's been done. So the consultation period is finished on that. The questionnaire is going to go out on the 1st of September with a brand new council bulletin telling everyone what we're doing and how we're doing it and why. And it's part of our openness and transparency. Everyone knows exactly where they are. So the questionnaire is going to go out, and we're looking forward to many returns, and they will be done, and we will have an idea of what the residents would like to see.
Okay, whatever you build there, if anything's built at all, whether you build a cinema, a nightclub, new restaurants, new superstore, whatever, what's going to happen to the car parking space? Where are people who are parking there now to shop in Brentwood High Street? Where is the planned parking? Or are you going to multi-storey there? Or is that just one of the questions?
That's one of the questions. And also it will be one of the jobs of the architects to put together that will complement the surrounding area and will not impose on the local residents.
Okay.
It's very difficult. It's not going to be easy. But that's the job we're in.
The last administration got into trouble almost because they thought they had agreed contracts in, and then it sort of fell apart. And Keith Parker came in on this programme last year, and he was quite aggrieved that he spent a lot of time on the project and he felt he'd been let down by various parties. How can we make sure that that doesn't happen again?
Well, the contract, when we agree, will have to be watertight. It will be a job of work for the lawyers and the solicitors to get us into that position. And I just can't believe the document that was put together previously had so many holes in it, that it was so many get-outs. It was just ridiculous. And there was no penalty clauses put in, nothing. This one will be watertight.
Because there was a condition in there that the rent wouldn't change, or if memory serves me correctly, that the rent
over the
paid
period.
Today would be paid the
same. Yeah, absolutely ludicrous. And then they came back to ask us if we would like to downsize it. And in the end, I think the benefit to Brentwood was about £150,000 per year, which is absolutely ludicrous, because at the time, Waitrose had come in with an alternative offer of £100,000 a year, the possibility. And a lot of millions of pounds down payment. So there was an alternative there that was being ignored, and the previous administration was insistent on carrying out with their PET scheme, which was full of holes, as we know, and it all ended in tears for them. Now we're going for a bright new future, a brand new plan. It's going to be something that we're all going to be proud of, that the residents can live with, and that is going to be beneficial to both the residents, the shoppers, the traders, and the council.
Final question on the dreaded William Hunter Way. Nighttime parking charges.
Yes.
Where are we with that?
We're rolling them out this year. We are going to put them in place after the period of advertising and everything else has been completed. I think that will come around about October, November time. And the idea of that, as we've said before, is to for the administration, the accord, to be able to reduce the burden of the daytime parking charge for our shoppers and our residents.
So you're going to reduce the daytime rate, but supplement that by charging a nighttime rate?
Yeah, that is our aim.
Okay, do you think there'll be a 30 minutes free period in the day, or
as it used to be? Uh-huh. That's what we'll be working for, a comprehensive car parking, all-encompassing.
Because that is a massive deterrent, isn't it? Anybody who's just going to, pop in and get the paper or pop a cheque into the bank,
agreed.
That's going to cost me £2 to do that. Yeah. It puts people off and takes business away from the traders. Okay, right, no more on William Hunter Way. Local development plans.
Yes.
Okay. Louise McKinley, I read last night, is begging you to listen.
To listen to who?
To the opposition to building on green beltland in Blackmore, Ingatestone, and areas like that, etc.
Well, she doesn't need to worry about begging me to listen, because I've already declared that we're not going to be doing that.
Okay.
I met with the parish councils last week, and I absolutely assured them that they will not be fault any housing and unwanted development in their parishes would not be forced on them, and we will do everything in partnership with them. And if there was any if they would come forward with any areas that they would like to see, and I'm only talking small development now, I'm not talking major hundreds of houses, I'm only talking twos and threes and half a dozen, if they would come forward, we would consider it with them.
How much of that new housing coming in is going to be social housing or low-cost housing, should we say, affordable housing?
All of those.
All of those.
All
right, okay.
No, not all of those houses, but all of those descriptions will be catered for within the development plan. And I believe it's set at 25%. To 30%, somewhere around that, will be the affordable housing, be it social or rentable.
Brentwood is a strange animal in some way, sort of revenue-wise, because you haven't really got much major industry in the borough, but you've got lots of high-end housing, haven't you? So How does Brentwood compare, for example, to your neighbours Thurrock and Havering in revenue-wise?
Well, they get more than us because they're unitaries, Havering and Thurrock. But we, as local authorities, we don't get the business rate. That goes straight to the government. Yeah. We only survive on the rates coming for the council tax coming from domestic, from the houses. So we've never had any income from the business rate.
Okay, I'm just going to take a break.
We get a government grant.
Right, okay. I'm going to ask you, I've got lots more to ask you. I'm just going to take a quick break for the news headlines.
Hitting the headlines first for your area. This is Phoenix FM.
And these are the top stories at 1:30. A video which appears to show a British member of the Islamic State extremist group beheading an American journalist has been described as depraved by the Prime Minister. David Cameron's returned from his holiday to hold meetings at Downing Street. The journalist James Foley was captured by IS fighters in 2012. Twitter's announced it'll consider removing images and videos of dead people if they're asked by immediate family members, but the social network says it will also consider the public interest of any content. For the first time in 3 years, the Bank of England is divided over whether it should increase the base rate of interest. Minutes reveal two of the nine members of the bank's Monetary Policy Committee voted in favour of an increase earlier this month. Four people have been arrested as part of an investigation into attempted letter bomb attacks in England and Northern Ireland earlier this year. Two men and two women were picked up in Londonderry this morning. In football, Barcelona's launched an appeal against its transfer ban and the club's taking its case to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. These are the news headlines. We'll bring you more at the top of the hour.
This is Phoenix FM.
It is 1:30. It's Mike with Barry. We're talking everything Brentwood today. Barry, what's in your diary this week?
Oops,
let's tell you one. That's better.
quite a bit. Today I've met with companies that would I've getting some information from to the possibility of installing solar power as a generator of funds for the council and also a way of green energy, reducing the carbon footprint and helping the green pound in that way. So I've met with them. We've thought about the possibilities of actually putting solar panels on the Brentwood Centre roof, which would drive down the cost of the of the power here and also generate some funds for the council. So we're looking into that, looking into solar panel farming, which is fields of solar panels. I spoke to at length with the parish councils last week when I met them on that possibility and working in partnership with the councils if any of them would like to join up with us in an adventure. If there was a place that they felt that was less sensitive than anywhere else that would take these type of energy providers, that it could be a money earner for the parish councils and for us because they need to be able to subsidise their parish precept as well as us.
I asked Louise the same question a year ago about council resources and sharing staff. Barking and Dagenham, Thurrock, Basil, I believe, are all sharing some backroom services, which seems to make sense. I mean, why have three different solicitors when you could all share one? Where are Brentwood with that? What's your view on that? Should we be doing it or shouldn't we be doing it?
I'd love to be able to be self-supporting, totally, with Brentwood people working in Brentwood and other people coming in to work for Brentwood. But we are sharing facilities with Barking and Dagenham as well. We've got our legal department there. We've also got some help with our IT from Barkin and Dagenham.
Was there any was anything when you came into power that shocked you?
Yes.
All right, I don't want to go into too much detail. I'm just thinking, and I'm not no background to say this whatsoever, but you just mentioned the word IT. You know,
yes.
We've just in the fire service it happened. It's just happened this week, and I've forgotten where now, but. We've got to pay £240 million in compensation to a firm that never delivered its software in the first place. Are there any horror stories that you came across when you came into power?
Not so much in that regard. The horror story I came across was the staff review and how they felt working for Brentwood. And although the vast majority of the people that worked for Brentwood said that they did it because they loved the borough, they did it as a commitment to the borough, but they felt that direction of travel was holding people back. They didn't like the atmosphere in the council, and it was probably the worst possible staff review I've ever heard, and that saddened me a lot. That really disappointed me, upset me, and to think that our people that work for us felt that way, and that was the majority of that was down to the administration, all of us, the council, the opposition, and the leadership. It was bad. It was dire, and that followed on from the worst ever peer review that the council undertook. That was awful, and we were getting people applying for jobs. We'd put the advertise for jobs, and no one was applying. It was ridiculous, and the quality of the people that were applying wasn't that good either. But now there's been this turnaround, and only last week we had a job that there was 30 odd people applied for. So it was great, and we were getting quality staff, and I'm hoping that we have another staff review in the new year to find out if they're happier. So that was one thing. The other thing was this smoking gun that one of my chairman...
Russell.
Yeah. He described it as these reports that we discussed earlier, and some of the other things that we're finding out. I mean, the Waitrose thing we found out just before the election, which was crazy that none of us had heard about an alternative bid for William Hunter Way. So there's significant things that are happening. And the fact that when I turned up, rocked up the first day, nothing had happened on the progress of the refurbishment for the town hall that had been undertaken for about 3 years, you know, 2 years.
Okay.
So there were things like that, and a lack of support staff as well. Yeah. And to that end, we're motoring, and yesterday the acting chief executive interviewed 4 or 5 new apprentices that we're taking on.
You've triggered another question, but I'm going to come back to that. I just wanted to say I interviewed John Kent, the leader of Thurrock Council, recently. He felt very... And I was talking mainly about arts and the Thameside Theatre, etc. He felt that his hands were tied, money was really, really tight. Mm-hmm. How he was closing... He was being forced to close libraries. He was being forced to close or move stroke services, blind, all sorts of voluntary service people, etc., mm-hmm. all over the place. How safe are those services in Brentwood as we speak? You know, the arts, because, you know, the Brentwood Council supports Brentwood Arts Council, etc. Are those areas fairly safe, or are they in danger?
Not from the council, they're not.
They're not, okay.
No, that I haven't seen anything that says that there's a massive grant that we're giving to the theatre or the Arts Council that needs to be addressed. So that there's no fear for them in
okay.
Brentwood.
Thank you very much indeed. Right, let's move on to something. I want to change hats slightly now.
Yep.
You are a member of the Fire Authority.
I am indeed.
You've just said to me that you were shocked at how unhappy your workforce were.
Yeah.
Now, as we all know, you and I know that at the moment, as we speak now, there is a fire service dispute on, which has nothing to do with Essex. It's a national
dispute. Absolutely nothing to do with Essex whatsoever.
It's a national dispute.
Yep.
And you and I probably don't even know whether they're on strike today or not, because I've lost count now. It's a long, long running dispute.
Yeah, I think it's awful, and I think the only people that are going to suffer out of this are the firefighters themselves, with the less money in their pay packet at the end of the month, because it's not going anywhere. The government's not going to budge on it. It's a pension revolution that everyone in the country has had to undergo in the public service, and we've just got to accept it. It's a hard and bitter pill to accept, but we can't do anything about it. It's not going to be...
It's not about money, is it? It's about you and I are both former firefighters, and mm-hmm. many years ago... I know, I'm 56 years old now. I could not do the job I did when I was 46.
No, absolutely. I totally agree with you on that.
I'm not fit enough at all to do. Yeah. And they're being told that they're going to be relieved of duty if they fail fitness tests, which are exactly the same as a 21-year-old would take. That, to me, is unjust.
It is terribly unjust, and we're going to try and put things in place in Essex. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, OK, but I don't want to get into the national argument, but...
No.
I know that Essex at the moment is a very, very unhappy place, regardless of the strike. The workforce feel unhappy. I know that there was, for 30 years ago, and right up to quite recently, there was 925 odd firefighters in Essex. That number's down to 600 odd.
Yes.
So fire cover's been reduced, admin staff has grown, and there are less fire engines on the road than there were 10 years ago. How do you feel about that?
Don't believe there's less fire engines.
Well, let's correct myself there. There are less full-time firefighters.
Yeah.
IEs in Brentwood.
We've got a split attendance. Where do I stand on that?
Yeah.
It's very difficult because in one hand, as you're quite right, we're both ex-firefighters and I've got a love for the job. But also we have the responsibility of fire cover for Essex. Mm-hmm. And we can't argue, I've tried, believe me, I did try, but we can't argue with the figures that are in our face. We're turning the wheel less than we were before. There's less jobs, thanks to a lot of other factors, building regs, health and safety.
Excellent fire prevention work.
Absolute excellent fire prevention work undertaken by the firefighters. But there's less jobs we're actually going to on emergencies. Now, we still have to go out to an awful lot of road traffic collisions, RTCs, and I don't see that coming down, but I'm told it has slightly. But fires are coming down all the time because of the excellent work carried out. Now, if you've got less turnouts, you're going to have a demand for less firefighters full-time. That is just the way of the world. I mean, there is, years ago before, I don't know, we go back too far, but...
Well, then let's just give an example then. For example,
labour intensive was the firefighter. You know, it's not the amount of machines you needed if you had a good job going. It was the amount of men you had there to actually have the fire cover to do it.
And I would argue London went over the board. You'd send three, four machines to a dustbin alike, wouldn't you, in the past?
That's
an exaggeration, but et cetera. But also, you know, you say we don't go out, they don't go out, we say they don't go out as much now because of false alarms. For example, you might send three appliances and a special to a hospital.
Yeah,
don't go anymore.
No.
Or maybe only send one. Or I don't know. I'm not up to date with the latest movements. But that is very easy to see. Then that the figures have come down because if they're not going to those places, But the workforce unhappy. And you just said to me you loved it, and so did I. And I'm sure you see people now who are still in the job who you say, so how long have you done it? And you and I would have said, I've done 27 years, I've done 29 years, I'm proud of it. And now they're going, I've got 3 years, 2 weeks, they can't
wait to get out.
That your workforce is unhappy.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how you as a fire authority are addressing that. How can you, I mean, where is the chief officer at the moment? Nobody seems to know where is
he's on long-term sick leave.
Okay. All right, we'll leave that at that. Okay.
That is a fact. We've got our very capable and able deputies who's been acting up now
for
6 months.
Okay. But there are the departments in the fire service, I don't want to go too deep into this, but where there have been... The admin staff seem to have grown and grown and grown, and that might not be the fire authority's fault. Health and safety is now a massive different department,
and communities issues as well.
I know. When I joined, there was two guys running the whole staff department. Yeah. Now it seems to be I've no idea.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
But it just seems to be that you've got more chiefs than Indians at the moment, and that way. And it just seems a dangerous situation to be in.
Well, I think that communication's the key. That the guys on the stations need to be contacted and in constant contact with decision making and with the actualities of fighting fires and attending incidents on a day-to-day basis in Essex. I think we need to know what the role of Kelvedon Park is, because that's evolving all the time. It's a very exciting project.
Yeah.
And it's gonna help us in the long
run.
And you'll be able to sell the Hutton soon
because the control will be moving out.
Kelvedon Park will be paid for virtually by the sale of Hutton. So there won't be any residual over from that development, and we'll be able to sell the facilities at Kelvedon Park to other fire authorities. We're going to be one of the, if not the best, training facility in the country.
Okay. All right, no more about the fire service, Barry. Finally, where would you like to see Brentwood 6 months from now? And I'd like to invite you in on a regular basis to have these chats, because I think it's really useful and very transparent, very open, and Where would you like to be? What would you have liked to have achieved 6 months down the line?
I would like to have achieved some of the projects we're putting in place. I'd like to see a William Hunter Way settled, designed, up and running, and an agreement being reached with a developer and a user. That's one. I would like to see some homes being built for residents in the borough in terms of affordable, sociable, rentable. And I would like to see us developing some of the other things that we're after, such as the all-up elections. Instead of having an election every single year, that we have one every 4 years, and that's within our power, I believe. We have to apply to the Elections Commission, Electoral Commission, for that, and that was something that we will hopefully achieve. And the council and the town hall still where it is, and earning money from people who are renting out the available space that's in there. So in 6 months' time, I'll be better placed to let you know exactly how far down the road we are with those objectives that we've set.
Barry Aspinall, thank you very much for time coming into the studio again, and hopefully maybe we'll have a chat again in a month's
time. Been a pleasure.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
It's Frankie's Classic Car and Bike Fest in Dunton. A great day for the family with classic and performance cars, bikes, a vintage and retro market, live music and more. See it on Sunday,